Insurrection, obstruction, indictments, civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on election day and still be elected commander-in-chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his properties. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late. It is area code 914-803-4131. That's 914-803-4131. Y'all don't need to see the mess that's left by my children. I was like, wow, what happened to my pseudo green screen? Hopefully this is not a full-on technical difficulty day, but we'll see. I did get a late start to starting the music, but it's fine. We still got in there right at 8 p.m. Thanks everyone who's in the chat room currently. I know Hal, I think, is going a little bit long, so I'm sure we'll have some people meander in as we continue. Today we're going to talk about one thing that was brought up last week. I think it was Ken QB, maybe, or maybe somebody else brought it up. I don't remember particularly, but talking about the issues of not being sick enough to get help through insurance. So I'm currently going through that with something. So we're going to talk about that a little bit about, we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to go over briefly, not the full on deep dive that we normally do when it comes to Supreme Court rulings, but there was a very good Supreme Court ruling that took place in for workplace equality called Muldrow versus St. Louis. And I had a couple of new whatever podcast videos pop up into my feed, and some of them I just had to I have to respond to. So we're going to return back to doing another Unraveling Toxic Masculinity video or two or three or however I feel like chopping them up, simply because of the fact that I want to make sure to just keep unraveling that toxic masculinity. So shouts out in the chat, Aaron, Dave, Steve, Jackie, Jeff. I think that's so far everybody who said anything. Got 7 current viewers, 4 likes. Make sure to smash that like button. And then the patriarchy. Let's see. What else we got going on? Well, we're waiting for the trickle to come on in. I'm still doing that game. There's like 2 to 3 days left in the campaign for me to be able to do the game that's linked to. We'll pin it in a second on the top of both chats. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, especially during the part with unraveling toxic masculinity, you'll probably want to listen on YouTube because you won't be able to hear the clips that I'm playing on YouTube or on Blog Talk Radio. So if you're listening over there, you may want to just head on over to YouTube simply because that'll be the way you'll get to hear the last part of the show. Unless you have no interest in learning about toxic masculinity, then I guess you could bug out early. But everybody should be working to unravel toxic masculinity because it's a horrible thing to do. Jeff, we're not going to be talking about him. I'll just put it that way. It's between me and him, but that's it. If we have to talk about it, we will, but I'm not sure we'll see Wes today. Let's see. Hey, Jolie, what's going on? Be back in a few. Take your time. Hurry up. The choice is yours. Don't be late. Nirvana lyrics. Yeah, my phone had to auto-update today as well, so I know that feeling, with, especially when it wants to do it at the most inopportune moment. That's what really sucks. But on the puzzles and survival game that I just linked to in both of the chats, they're both pinned. Again, I took my wife's phone and I played with it and I showed my kids that you could do everything you need to do to get it done in a half an hour for the first two parts, getting your headquarters to level 5 and then rally a zombie lair. In reality, in order to rally a zombie lair, you have to get to level 6 on your headquarters. And then there's also the $35 that I'll earn for a 5-star hero, and you can pay a package for $5. So if you put $5 towards this game, it gets me $35. So if you ever wanted to do like a $5 super chat, or spend 5 in bits, or even subscribe for a month on Nerdy Dan for a couple days, you get much more bang for your buck if you download the game. And you do the $5 purchase to get yourself a 5-star person, then that gets me $35. So that's currently the best way financially you could help the channel. And that has 2 days and 7 hours left to complete. And I think I'm targeting a Star Trek based one. The next time when this is over with, I'll do the Star Trek one. And we'll probably keep doing these because it seems to be decent, especially, and if everybody jumped on, it would be a really great way to spot. I could make if everybody jumped on and did it, I could get $1,000 every 10 days just by doing this, which would be very, very helpful considering all of the things going on in my life. Can't wait. You can email me, Jeff, if you're curious, liberaldanradio@gmail.com. Anyway, so, anywho, there's that. There's also the cheap ways and the free ways to help the show. Remember to subscribe on YouTube, follow on Twitch. Both of that's free. If you have an Amazon Prime account, you can subscribe for free every month. You just have to re-up it every month. You can do it that way. You can be a liberal danimal and get some memberships on YouTube. You can buy super chats, super stickers. You can buy bits on Twitch. You can buy me a cider. Go to liberaldan.com. Click the Buy Me a Cider button. You can Venmo Liberal Dan on Venmo. We'll just scan the QR code right there. Both ways will work. And you can become a Liberal Dan Radio patron. Go to patreon.com/liberaldan or patreon.liberaldan.com. Either way, I'll get you there, and you can support the show for as little as $5 a month. So, see, Jeff, I had two posts about the Jeff talk about the guy that lit himself on fire. I thought he had died. Someone said they brought him to the emergency room, but I guess he is officially dead now. So one of the first things I said when I saw that, and I tweeted it out, and was like, yo, this Donald Trump trial is lit. And, I was hoping to get some toxic MAGA folks to bait them in with that. But then I also said, was like, well, I guess Donald Trump just lost a voter. Jeff, the email is just liberaldanradio@gmail. Say liberaldanradio on YouTube, Gmail, Facebook, TikTok, Twitch. Liberal Dan Radio everywhere, except there is liberaldan.com as well, but liberaldanradio.com brings it to the YouTube channel. So, but yeah, I was like, yo, this trial's lit, and this guy took it a little too seriously. Oh, well, some people be cray-cray. Not a shock that it's, somebody supporting Donald Trump who happened to be from Florida, so it's a Florida man who went ahead and did it as well. So all sorts of non-shocking revelations as it pertains to Mr. I did start the fire on myself. There should be a Billy Joel song created after him. Yes, I did start the fire. I was going to make a joke about Santos and flaming. Like, that, well, like, you know, wow, with Santos, we had some flaming Republicans, but this is ridiculous. Something like that. Do the pillage all like, he did start the fire. He was all totally MAGA. And I don't know what else would rhyme. I'd have to think of a better rhyme or lyric than that. So anyway, I have a morbid sense of humor. Comes from being myself Jewish, and, you know, we tend to enjoy gallows humor, so to speak. I don't know if there's fire, you know, fire humor, self-immolation humor. I don't know. It's crazy. These people are nuts. Like, the idea that you would put yourself on fire just because Donald Trump, and maybe there was another reason, I don't know, maybe he was protesting, because there have been people who, like, were protesting, like, what they felt was unfair child support payments, and instead of paying it and supporting their child, they just lit themselves on fire in front of the courthouse or whatever. Kind of dumb, if you ask me, but, you know, I should let Trump say it, because, you know, I don't want to walk all over his horrificness.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Leave that guy enough. He's had enough with sick burns. That's true, I guess. He tried to find a partner by going to Match.com. What other funny jokes could you say about it? I don't know. Maybe we'll think of a few as the show goes on. Something will come into my head. But I guarantee you the funniest joke I'll think of about the whole thing will come into my head right after the live stream is over with. So, I don't know why I'm so tired. I slept a little longer today. I don't know. I haven't been sleeping well. And we'll get to that in a second, too, because I'm just trying to bloviate and randomly talk about stuff for a few more minutes until some of the other folks get in once Hal's show is complete, so I don't have to, you know, repeat stuff or whatever. People can watch live. I'd like to know, after he lit himself up, did he say to himself, this is a good idea? I don't know. Don't know what's in the head of the minds of the maggot and all the other crazies that are out there in support of Herr Donald, Comrade Trump, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, all right, let's just go ahead and crack. What am I going through, puberty again? Second puberty. I do have my older son's ringtone, who's 15, going to be 16. We just signed him up for driver's ed, and I'm like, ugh, I feel old. His ring, he was going through puberty. He was kind of cracking. I don't remember ever really having my voice crack during puberty. Like, I don't think that ever happened for me. If it happened, maybe it happened once. It wasn't a very frequent thing. But he had a couple of cracks, and I'm sitting there like, this reminds me of the Brady Bunch song. So I went and downloaded the Brady Bunch song and made it into a ringtone. So whenever my oldest son calls me, he's like, when it's time to change, you got to rearrange who you are and what you want to be. Sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Sha-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Sha-na-na-na-na. Autumn turns to winter. Winter turns to spring. Sorry. Maybe I got a copyright violation for singing the Brady Bunch song. Some terrorist tried that at Glasgow Airport a few years ago. Some Glaswegian just laid him out. Welcome to Scotland. Well, you know, we're not going to have you making my flight late simply because you want to set yourself on fire. Immolate yourself on someone else's time, lad. Or something to that effect. Yeah, because imagine having to explain that. Like, my flight's late. Why was your flight late? because someone set himself on fire outside the airport. What? Like, why? I don't understand why. I mean, I get that people have issues and need therapy and that we should, you know, enable them to do so. But most of the people who are following Trump would probably view therapy as something for the weak, something for the weak-minded. And as such, there's no way they would let some shrink talk to them. I ain't going no therapist. I ain't going to talk to them. I'm gonna sit there and just in my own misery until I immolate myself. I don't know what that means. It sounds dirty, but it's probably something to do with fire. I poured way too much gas on a pile of trash to burn. Blew me back about 10 feet. Wife saw it and thought it killed me. Then she laughed. As I think that would happen. I think my wife would be like, are you okay? And then I'd be like, yeah, I'm fine. And then she'd start cracking up at me. But it might probably... Did you have, like, singed eyebrows, Jeff? We had a, and while I was in Boy Scouts, we had a few pyros who would enjoy playing with fire a little bit too much. And I'm like, aren't you supposed to learn fire safety when you're in Scouts? Not how to burn the world down, but, you know.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. So, let's talk about first topic at hand, which is I asked my son to bring me up a water, and apparently he's forgotten again to do it. We'll see. So, I had no eyebrows. I'm sure you didn't. Hey, Jad, what's going on? Good to see you. I've been dealing with issues like with my size for a very long time. And I did a 3-hour, or probably about 2.5 hours worth of episode on living life as an obese person in this country. And I don't want to rehash all of the topics that I discussed on that show. There's a lot. And I highly recommend if you want to go to my, I think I have a playlist called Very Special Episodes or whatever. And if you want to check that, there's the very special episode on being fat in America and being Jewish in America. Two of the things for which I could talk on. So I was on Trulicity for a while. My last doctor wanted to get me on Trulicity. I finally got on Trulicity. It was on my previous insurance when I had Medicaid, and they were covering it. And it helped me lose like 70 pounds. Like it was nice. It was great that, you know, it worked. I hit a plateau, and then all of a sudden Healthy Blue, the Medicaid that I was on before I flipped to my work insurance, they were like, oh, we're not going to cover this anymore. And so they first tried Trulicity on my new insurance, but because I don't have a high A1C, they denied that. So then there's like things like Wegovy and Zepbound, all these other medications that are made specifically for weight loss and not for directly for A1C, although I'm sure it'll help A1C issues. Did I get that? No, it was not approved. I need prior authorization. So then the doctor mailed in the prior or emailed or whatever, electronically filed the prior authorization claim. They denied that. They've appealed it. They denied it again. Why? Why was I, the large man that I am, denied the ability to get an injection to help me lose weight? And there's signs that show that not only do these injections help lose weight, they help with heart disease, help with a whole bunch of other stuff that can be caused by obesity. And there's plenty of people who are rich. Here's part of the problem. There are plenty of people who are rich who who were getting like the Ozempic. For a while, when I was still on the Trulicity, I was having problems getting Trulicity because you had all of these doctors, when a shortage was happening with all these other medications, all these doctors were allowing their rich patients to get the medications. And hold on a second. Let me just shut this off real quick.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I got my water. So all the doctors were allowing their rich patients to get the prescriptions for Ozempic. So all the people that could afford it out of pocket were paying for it out of pocket. And so all the people that needed Ozempic because they were actually legitimately ill and needed the help had to go get other forms like Trulicity. So now everybody with Trulicity was dealing with shortages. So I had a fat man rant about that too. So, yeah, 815, no, sorry. Caller who's not being allowed to call in. Anyway, so where was I at? Anyway, talking about, okay, weight loss. So that, I think, I finally was able to get my injection by when I needed it. That was still when my insurance would cover it. Now it won't. Why won't it? Well, I'm not diabetic. I was at the cidery Friday, and there was a guy talking about how his A1C was like 12. And I was like, you? So you don't have to be fat to have a high blood sugar to have diabetes. So my A1C is not elevated. It's not high enough to get me to qualify for any medicine. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have high cholesterol. None of anything that I have that's measurable that you could test for in a blood test is wrong with me. Like, if it's not for the weight, it'd be perfect. But I have the weight, and the weight causes issues like, you know, just simply comfort issues, problems, you know, I get sore because my legs have to move around. More weight causes me to be more sore. My back's been sore recently. My legs have been killing me recently. It's just dealing with all that crap. But none of that matters to the insurance industry. It doesn't matter at all. Why? Because they want to write as few prescriptions as possible. They don't want to cover these things. And it's BS. Because how better to help people? It's almost like if I could afford just to get the liposuction and just have all the fat sucked out of me, it wouldn't solve the overall problem, but it would at least allow me to have the weight taken off of my body and no longer harming my knees, no longer harming my back. Terrible. It's annoying. And there are plenty of other people going through the exact same crap that I'm going through because we don't fit. Society does two things stupidly. Society decides that it's going to judge everybody for being fat, and we'll see an example of that later. If you're fat, you're somehow a flawed human being with no self-control, even though we've covered the reasons why that's not true on the podcast already. But then when you want to have get something done about your weight, the pharmaceutical companies have all these options, but the insurance won't cover it. Like, don't you want me as an insured person to be as healthy as possible so that, you know, an ounce of prevention being worth a pound of cure? They probably don't. They just want to take all the money up front and then hopefully, you know, take their golden parachutes and jump out before it becomes a problem. Am I retaining water? I don't think I'm retaining water. I don't think that's an issue. So Jeff, doctor told me I had high cholesterol. I said, well, crap, I just changed my deep fryer to lard. Still have it too. I've heard about intermittent fasting. I've heard about all bunch of other stuff. Like, maybe, but it's tough. There's many, many reasons why. You know, just simply dieting isn't the answer. And dieting and moving around doesn't help. Why? Because if it hurts to move around, how do I move around? If I can't handle a walk for more than, you know, a little bit around Costco when I go shopping, if I have to take a break in the middle of doing other things whilst I'm walking around. If I can't walk around Disney World without a scooter, without overly exerting myself, getting too sweaty, etc., how am I supposed to move around enough exercise-wise to be able to get that weight lost? I'm not retaining water, P-Debs. I just did your test. So, yep, Marie, exactly. That's what happens when healthcare is a commodity. And some of the pharmaceutical companies probably help make it worse, because we talked about this part before. The scheme that they thought of it, they'll charge you $3,000 per month for a shot. And then they'll have a copayment assistance plan that cuts the price of the shot a bunch. And then, so it counts as you paying the entire amount towards your deductibles and your co-insurances or whatever, but it doesn't, you don't have to pay it. Like you're not paying the whole amount. So you're hitting your out-of-pocket real quickly, which means everything else is covered more cheaply. So it probably harms the insurance industry some, but I mean, don't hate the player, hate the game when it comes to using these copayment assistance plans, because the copayment assistance plans are helping you to pay for these things that are expensive. Now, maybe they shouldn't be expensive. If you can afford to do a copayment assistance plan, why not just sell your drugs for cheaper? Well, the reason is because once you hit your deductible or once you hit your max out of pocket, then everything's coming to the insured, to the from the insurer to the from the insurer to the prescription, to the pharmaceutical company, or to the drug company like Walgreens, who then pays the pharmaceutical company. Either way, they've got the scam figured out, and we can't benefit from it. Hey, say how, what's going on? Let's see. The only thing you got to do with intermittent fasting is only water or unsweetened tea or black coffee for 16 hours a day. And then for the other 8, do whatever you want. Does that mean eat or drink whatever you want to? Like, can you have soft drinks and Cokes or whatever, or sweet tea? Of course, if you watch Hal Sparks would tell you there's no such thing as unsweetened tea. It's non-sweetened tea. Unsweetened tea implies that you took the sugar and you put it into the tea, and then you removed it from the tea. Non-sweetened tea is tea that hasn't been sweetened yet. That was one of the things that was I used to make Hal laugh on the first time that he called into the show. Was I did a callback to his bit, and I was like, "Do you think we should stop calling the people who haven't had the vaccine the unvaccinated, because they're not unvaccinated." It's not like we gave them the vaccine and then took it away. They're the non-vaccinated. And he chuckled and was like, yep, there you go. So, what's up, Don? Good to see you. Just no sugar for 16 hours or food of any kind. I mean, technically, I probably, some of these days, I do that already simply because of the fact that, my food schedule's so effed up. But yeah, I know soda's bad. Pop, Coke, whatever you want to call it. How much water do you drink during that time? And can the tea have things in it like artificial sweeteners, or does it have to be plain old, make you want to see your ancestors and die type of non-sweet tea? So, anyway, but yeah, so that's what I've been dealing with insurance-wise recently. That's a pain in the ass because it's like, come on, this worked or this was working, and now I can't get it. So if I want it, I have to start paying, like, I would have to start paying something like I have to pay some ridiculous amount of money a month. Furthermore, there's like, you know how they have these things where you see like Hims or Roe or lots of other online like stores that will sell you prescriptions like Viagra and Cialis or whatever. They have similar things for for what the official name of Ozempic or Wegovy is, like Semlipitude or whatever it's called. I don't know. I'm not looking at it in front of me. I'm just trying to Semlipitude, or I'm pronouncing it completely wrong and I don't care. But whatever they put the official, they don't put the name, the brand name. They put the official name of the drug. Well, I looked into that too, just to see. Guess what state are those not allowed in? Louisiana. Louisiana is the state where you're not allowed to do that. With all of the crap that's going on in the Louisiana legislature and all of the ways that they're trying to do things for freedom, they can't seem to get that one. There was another bill coming out recent. There was announced recently. We talked about the public records one or whatever. There's another one. There was a recent bill that was coming up soon. That was after the public records law. That was just another example of Louisiana being stupid. There is this issue. Let's see. Louisiana legislature advances bill to protect IVF treatments. Huh. The Alabama Supreme Court ruled every blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Let's look at the bill and see what this bill says. Hey, what's up? Tucker Johns here and Nick Rich. Good to see you, Nick Rich. Come on. Are we going to actually be able to see the bill or not? There we go. Text. Engrossed. To amend RS 91212133 relative to in vitro fertilization to provide a definition and classification to establish the viability of an in vitro fertilized human ovum to provide qualifications to provide immunity from civil liability and criminal prosecution, blah, 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 blah. Human embryo definition. Notwithstanding any other law to the contrary, and for the purpose of this chapter, human embryo means fertilized human ovum that is biological human being with certain rights guaranteed by law, composed of one or more living human cells and genetic material. In vitro fertilized human embryo means a human embryo created through the in vitro fertilization process. An in vitro human embryo is deemed non-viable when it fails to continue to develop after the first 36 hours of fertilization, except when the embryo is in the state of cryopreservation. The use of human embryo fertilized in vitro is solely for the support and contribution of the complete development of human into in utero implantation. No in vitro fertilized human embryo will be farmed or cultured solely for research purposes. The sale of human ovum, fertilized human ovum, or human embryo is expressly prohibited. That's current law. A viable in vitro fertilized human embryo exists as a juridical person until such time as the in vitro fertilized embryo is implanted, at which time rights as otherwise allowed by law as a juridical person, the viable in vitro fertilized human embryo shall have the capacity to sue or to be sued. How is this helping anybody? And recognized as a separate entity apart from the medical facility or the clinic where it is housed or stood, a juridical person in the in vitro fertilization embryo shall be given an identification by the medical facility for use within the medical facility. The confidentiality of the in vitro fertilized embryo and the patients for which it came shall be maintained. An in vitro human embryo is a juridical person, is recognized as a separate entity apart from medical facility, direction and custody. An in vitro fertilized human cannot be owned by the in vitro fertilization patients who owe the in vitro fertilized human embryo a high duty of care and administration. An in vitro fertilized human embryo is under the direction and custody of the patient and is not the property of the physician, which acts as an agent of fertilization. Jesus Christ. The American Society for Reproductive Medicine and the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, as evidenced by double board certification or eligibility by the American Board of Obstetricians, blah, 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 shall cause the in vitro fertilization of a human ovum to occur. No person shall engage in the in vitro fertilization procedures unless qualified by this section. Duties of donors, blah, 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 judicial standard. In disputes arising parties regarding the in vitro fertilized embryo, disputes shall be resolved in accordance with the terms and provisions of the in vitro fertilization agreement by the patients. If none such exists, the dispute shall be determined by a court of competent jurisdiction. No physician, hospital, in vitro fertilization clinic, manufacturer, provider of services, or their agent who acts in good faith in the screening, collection, conservation, preparation, transfer, or cryopreservation of the human embryo, including the provisions of goods or services related thereto, shall be subject to criminal prosecution or civil liability. Immunity granted by this section is applicable to all actions, including actions related to succession rights and inheritance. For the purposes of this chapter, good faith means blah, 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 blah. There's no such thing as really good faith. Inheritance rights, holy crap. Inheritance rights will not flow to the in vitro fertilized embryo as a juridical person unless the in vitro fertilized embryo develops into an unborn child that is born at live birth or any other time when rights attach to an unborn child in accordance with the law. So there's not a child that can inherit things, but, you know, it's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Yeah, it's saying it's not property. They're saying that the embryo is not considered property, which I guess is the argument that is made by people who think that you should be able to just, you know, toss the remaining embryos in the dish, which is reasonable if you're no longer going to use them. Pretty much mimics what happens in the plenty of regular fertilized embryos are discarded every damn day, but they don't want to understand that. They don't like science or don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. So when are you leaving Louisiana? Not any time yet. I mean, simply because of the fact that if we all just left the areas where, you know, we can fight, you know, that just lets the bad guys win. And, well, I mean, honestly, at this point, there's nothing that's a threat at this to our children or to us unless, you know, Nazis come. Say, I better not drop my semen sample. That will be millions of manslaughter charges, damn it. I don't think they were specifically saying embryo, so you have to have that semen combine with some mitosis has to happen between the sperm and the egg, so to speak. The first playoff game for the Women's Professional Hockey League sold out over 21,000. This is more than almost all NBA games at night. That's pretty darn cool. Yep, that's wild. Can sue or be sued, yet can't inherit anything, money, root of evil. Pretty much. So let us go. We're already 40 minutes in. So I got 25 viewers now. That's awesome to see. Haven't said hey to you. Hey to you. Dawn, hello. Janelle. Cynthia from Texas is here. Good to see you. Who else? Again, just a reminder, if you've not liked the video, like it, share videos, other videos, subscribe to the channel. The linked game is still up for about two. The campaign for the games is about 2.5 days, 2 days, 7 hours or whatever. You play a half an hour worth of game can get me. Playing a half an hour's worth of game can get me $16 from this rewards thing. And then if you also pay $4.99 to get the initial what top-up pack that they're calling it, like just spending the $5 and getting the epic character, the five-star character, gets me $35. So what other place, if you want to support any podcast, what other place do you have the opportunity to pay something, pay $5 for something in a game and then that benefits me by 35. Where else is that possible? To steal, if you want to contribute $5 to the show, do it that way instead. I've already confirmed that that works. So there you go. Anyway, let's go ahead and let me bring down, and if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, you won't be able to see anything in particular when it comes to, do you want to see annotations? I don't know. We'll briefly go over what the ACLU site says, or maybe we'll look at some of the wording on the ruling, but we're not going to do a deep dive like we've done another one, because usually we do deep dives into the controversial ones. This one is actually, they got it right. The Supreme Court managed, this activist conservative Supreme Court managed to get it right. Supreme Court delivered a huge victory for workers and workplace equality. The court issued a ruling in Muldrow versus City of St. Louis, holding that Title VII of the Civil Rights Act bars employers from discriminating in decisions like lateral transfers without requiring employees to show that the discriminatory action caused significant damage. The ACLU of Missouri and the Constitutional Accountability Center filed an amicus brief in support of plaintiff Jatanya Claiborne, Claiborne Muldrow, who claimed that her employer, the City of St. Louis, violated Title VII by transferring her to a new position and subsequently denying a transfer request because of her sex. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit ruled it was not sufficient that the transfer decisions affected the conditions of her employment, and said Muldrow had to also establish that her reassignment or her denied transfer request imposed material employment disadvantage, putting, again, the onus on the person who's harmed and not the onus on the, you know, the people who are trying to say that their actions are constitutional. It's always been my stance that if the government should have to always prove that its actions are constitutional before anything else takes place. It is what it is. Supreme Court decision is a win for workers. Courts have often dismissed cases under materially or significantly adverse standard when employees have material discrimination claims. So the court's decision come in the midst of a coordinated attempt by conservative advocacy groups trying to cast this ruling as a danger to workplace DEI trainings and initiatives. The fear-mongering of DEI opponents has no basis of law, blah, 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 blah. So let's go on and check out the there we go. Supreme Court of the United States, Muldrow versus City of St. Louis, Missouri. Sergeant Jatanya Claiborne Muldrow maintains that her employer, the St. Louis Police Department, transferred her from one job to another because she is a woman. From 2008 to 2017, Muldrow worked as a plainclothes officer in the Department's Specialized Intelligence Division. In 2017, the new Intelligence Division commander asked to transfer Muldrow out of his unit so he could replace her with a male officer. Against Muldrow's wishes, the department approved the request and reassigned Muldrow to a uniformed job elsewhere in the department. While Muldrow's rank and pay remained the same in the new position, her responsibilities, perks, and schedule did not. After the transfer, Muldrow no longer worked with high-ranking officers. Officials in the department priorities lodged in the Intelligence Division. Instead, she's supervising day-to-day activities of neighborhood patrol officers. She lost access to an unmarked take-home vehicle and a less regular schedule involving weekend shifts. Muldrow brought the Title VII suit to challenge the transfer. She alleged the city in ousting her from the Intelligence Division said that they discriminated her against her sex with respect to the terms or conditions of her employment. The district court granted the city summary judgment. The Eighth Circuit affirmed, holding that Muldrow had to, but could not show that the transfer caused a materially significant disadvantage. Muldrow's lawsuit could not proceed. Held an employee challenging a transfer under Title VII must show that the transfer brought some harm with respect to an identifiable term or condition of employment, but that harm need not be significant. So it need not be significant. So let's scroll down. So Kagan delivered the opinion of the court in which Roberts, Sotomayor, Gorsuch, Barrett, and Jackson joined. Thomas, Alito, and Kavanaugh each filed an opinion concurring with the judgment. My mind has officially blown that it was a 9-0 decision in support of employee rights. They even managed to drag Thomas along. So let's see. Justice Kagan delivered the opinion to the court. Muldrow maintains her employer, the police department, transferred her from one job to another because she's a woman. She sued. The courts below rejected the claim that the transfer did not cause Muldrow a significant employment disadvantage. And how could it not have given her a disadvantage? She's moving from a a very specialized kind of elite sounding unit to just going over patrol officers. Like, clearly there is a problem there. So we skip over the facts of the case, I guess. I kind of want to see, it's 22 pages, not a very long ruling. We granted certiorari to resolve a circuit split over whether an employee challenging transfer under Title VII must meet a heightened threshold of harm, be it dubbed significant, serious, or something similar. We now vacate the judgment below because the text of Title VII imposes no such requirement. So the text of the law did not impose a requirement. The courts were trying to be activists, and this activist conservative Supreme Court was like, we're going to go with Kagan this time and go 9-0. I bet you the only reason that Thomas and Alito was like, we got nothing, but we don't want to join in with Kagan, so we're going to do our own special things because we're special snowflakes. I really want to see what Alito's dissent is, or not dissent is, but his concurrence is, because I wonder if his concurrence in this is as badly written or as poorly written as the other things that he wrote. The city tried to defend itself. Well, no crap, because, you know, the city is being shitty. Supreme Court. Justice Thomas occurring. I agree with Justice Alito that the courts of appeal all appear to articulate the same principle. Slightly varying verbal formulations, a plaintiff bringing a claim under 42 must show harm that is more than trifling, and there is little practical difference between that principle and the court's holding that an employee must show some harm. I'm not convinced, however, that the court accurately characterizes the Eighth Circuit's decision. I do not read the Eighth Circuit to have necessarily imposed a heightened harm requirement in the form of significance test. Eighth Circuit, so he's basically disagreeing with how things were read, but he's not the ruling, he's not the concurrence that I'm interested in. The concurrence I'm interested in is Justice Alito. Justice Alito concurring with the judgment. I agree with the judgment of this case, assuming without deciding that all of the facts mentioned by the court are relevant and properly presented, petitioners transferred, altered the terms or conditions of her employment, and therefore she can prevail if she can prove that she was transferred because of her sex. I do not join the court's unhelpful opinion. Hello, pot. Pot calling the kettle black there. He does not join the court's unhelpful opinion. Why? Because they were trying to be like you? For decades, dozens of lower court judges with a wealth of experience handling Title VII cases have held that not every unwanted employment experience affects an employee's terms or conditions of employment. Lower courts have used various verbal formulations to express this point, and the court, dubious about the words they have selected, granted review to provide guidance. Now, after briefing and argument, that guidance is as follows. Title VII plaintiffs must show that the event that they challenge constituted a harm or injury, but that the event need not be significant or substantial. I have no idea what this means. Of course you don't, because you're an idiot, Justice Alito, and I have no idea how you made it onto the court. The primary definition of harm is physical or mental damage, and an injury is defined as an act that damages, harm, or hurts, an unjust or undeserved infliction of suffering or harm. Webster's Third International Dictionary from 1976, because of course you can't use a new one, these definitions incorporate at least some degree of significance of substantiability. We do not typically say that we were harmed or injured by every unwanted experience. What would we think if a friend said, I was harmed because the supermarket had run out of my favorite brand of peanut butter? That's clearly a tragedy. I mean, and it's clearly a non sequitur in the terms of this discussion. But these are the same people who tried to make an argument that, by the way, that you could turn a puddle into being waters of the United States in their ruling that was harmful to the environment. Forget the name of the ruling, but I was injured because I ran into three rather than the usual two red lights on the way home from work. Again, non sequitur, has nothing to do with the thing, just making up crap just to try and make a good point. But he doesn't make a good point because he never makes good points because he's an idiot. I see little, if any, substantive difference between the terminology the court approves and the terminology it doesn't like. The predictable result of today's decision is that careful lower court judges will mind the words they use, but will continue to do pretty much just what they've done for years. okay. Of course, Kavanaugh had to say his thing. I wonder if there's any mention of beer. As long as you're not serving beer, you're fine. Or as long as you're serving beer, you're fine. I like beer. I love beer. Anyway. So there's that. There's that ruling. The surprising ruling where 9-0. Did you ever think that we would get a 9-0 ruling out of this court on the issue pertaining to employment rights? I'm shook. I'm absolutely shook. And even if Gorsuch is a corporate shill, they still supported employee rights. 9-0. Wait, who's talking about the HNIC? What? Why are you bringing up that up? I don't know. That's weird. So there was that story. There was that case. And again, see, on Stormy Monday, R.I.P. Vin, Rip Van Stinkle broke up in criminal court with a pecker leak. Hilarious. What else? Willie Nelson left $60 billion in military aid for Ukraine under the 420 tree. Nice. To all the girls, to all the joints I smoked before. So, I missed Misha's comment about hugs. I could definitely use hugs. I'm all for hugs. I'm a big huggy person, and I probably could use some right about now. Hockey night in Canada is HNIC. Oh, my God. I was about to say, what does it mean up there? Do I want to know? Hockey night in Canada. Wow. We'll learn something new every day, I suppose. Ooh-wee. Let's go ahead and turn off, mute the audio for a second whilst we bring up my Google Keep. And we bring up all of these shorts that I want to view, including this one, which is just amazing. I can't even believe that this actually happened. And if you've watched these coming to terms with toxic masculinity, or I'm sorry, unraveling toxic masculinity ones, so, and there's really no reason, I didn't really even listen to the short. I didn't even watch the short. All I did was, not that one, that one. And let's go ahead and move me over here so we can make this into shorts if we want to. Buy me a coffee. Is that not working? Doesn't seem to be working. Oh, wait. There you go. It's working. So we'll put that up there. I put that up there, though. You won't see the alert. So I'll just put it up there, and then you'll see the alert if you want to. All right, there we are. So here is the reason why I am sharing. Anyway, actually, I guess let's do an intro. For anybody who hasn't seen him yet, I have a video series called Unraveling Toxic Masculinity. We do deep dives into the trash that is these MGTOW podcasts, red pill type folks. Usually it's like the Whatever podcast and Fresh and Fit podcast. These are a bunch from the Whatever that just shot into my feed for some reason this week. And I'm like, all right, well, let's give it a shot. Let's watch these and see what they have to say. So first and foremost, let's watch this one from the Whatever podcast. And there's a specific reason why I wanted to bring this one up. So again, I'm coming to terms with, I'm sorry. I keep wanting to say coming to terms active. That's the wrong playlist. This is another video in my Unraveling Toxic Masculinity series. We have this one. The only reason I wanted to bring this one up is for one reason specifically. I don't even know if, I'm sure what they're talking about is toxic, but I don't even, like that wasn't even the point for this one. The point of this video is this. Did you just see who asked, I don't believe in marriage. It's the one with the weird helmet. The one with the weird helmet actually speaks in this episode. What? They actually got her to talk instead of just sitting back. Now, this is, now Grant, this is not the sex doll from the back. This is somebody completely different. But the fact that they got the one with the weird hat to talk, I'm shook. Now, maybe I just don't watch them enough to be able to actually, you know, see. Maybe she talks all the time and just doesn't make the clips that I'm shown on my YouTube feed, but I'm just shook that she's talking. But why do you have to if that's not what you want to do? Society has these standards that don't fit everybody. If you want to channel all of your love into a beautiful monogamous relationship, by all means, do it. But that doesn't mean that this individual isn't valid for what she wants to do. And if she wants to give her love to multiple people, there's nothing wrong with that either. As long as everybody's consenting, as long as everybody's, you know, knowing what's going on, there's no reason why she shouldn't be able to enjoy her life in the way that she seems that she wants to do it. Now, like, and like most of these people are conservatives on here. Like, isn't, shouldn't, what is the conservative worldview be? Let, if there should, let you do what people who are consenting adults do what they want to do. Like, if you're a consenting adult, you should be able to do whatever it is you want to do. But that's typically not it when it comes to issues of sex and morality or whatever. So there's that one. That's the first one I wanted to show. Now, here's, there's two in a row that I have to show here because I did watch most of these short clips and I wanted to basically go into both of them, but you need one after the other. And look, people in a relationship should have discussions about what they're comfortable with and what they're not comfortable with. And, but there should be no issue with people heading out. And as long as you trust the individual that you're with, that's fine. I mean, there are people who are not going to have moral issues with strip clubs. And I mean, it's the position of Liberal Day and Radio that, you know, all sex work is work. As long as people are consenting and not being abused, then they should do whatever it is that they can, what they wish to do. And if people want to go to strip clubs, go to strip clubs. If you don't want to go to strip clubs, don't go to strip clubs and don't force other people to not. If you can't handle it, let that known at the beginning. Or just regular clubs even. What if the chances be close to zero is what you're trying to say? Or maybe you're trying to say infinitesimal. Not that is close to infinity, but it's infinitesimal. And here's this is what this gets down to, is that this is never about whether or not these guys should be able to go out. This is about the false idea that women control sex. Women are the barriers to entry to the sexual marketplace. The only reason that's true is because men are, as I've said before, sluts when it comes to that. They're throwing themselves at everybody's possible in the hopes that somebody might say yes. So if you're not giving people the opportunity to come flirt with you, to come be with you and whatever, then yeah, women are going to be the ones that are arbiters of sex. And the thing is that, yeah, I'm sure that if you go out and if you want to cheat, that it may very well be easier for a woman to do it than a man to do it, all other things being equal. A, because the woman is going to have constant barrages of men trying to throw their penises at them. But, you know, you should still trust the person that you're with, your partner, that they're going to follow the terms of your relationship. I guess Brian destroys hypocritical feminists. No, he doesn't. He doesn't destroy hypocritical feminists at all. In fact, he's just making the same old, boring, tired argument. First trying to expose people as, you know, oh, you're a hypocrite because you won't let your boyfriend go to the strip club, but you'll go to the club yourself. But again, most of them said that they would, no problem. So that kind of backfired in his face. But here's the second part of this video that I found. Stuff getting put into drinks. The stuff getting put into drinks are the fault of the people that are putting stuff into the drinks. They are not the fault of the person whose drink got something put into. So they're already starting off with this toxic idea that it is the if somebody gets roofed or whatever, that they're somehow to blame. No, it's the person doing the administering the Rohypnol is the problem. It's not the problem of the individual. Now, if somebody gets roofed, it becomes a problem to them, but it is not the fault of the individual who went out because somebody acted poorly. That's because you have no self-esteem. You really have no self-esteem. You don't believe in yourself. You don't trust yourself. And then you put that lack of trust in yourself on your partner because you think that your partner is going to somehow find somebody magical that night and then just violate the terms of your agreement. Why? Because a lot of people are trying to throw themselves. At least he's proving my point that that's what the guys do. A constant barrage of men just throwing themselves at the women at the club. It doesn't mean that they're going to act on it. Like, there are dudes that get upset when people check out their spouses. Like, people check out Cassie all the time. It doesn't bother me. Like, go ahead, take a look. See who made a bad decision in marrying me. But no, it's absurd that these people just can't grasp these simple concepts of how to have an adult relationship. These people are like high schoolers trying to navigate their way through life. Right, and if somebody gives you Rohypnol and then takes advantage of them, that's rape, and that's not the fault of your partner. And to hold it against your partner is kind of BS, is definitely BS. And otherwise, if you trust your partner, you should be able to trust your partner to go hang out and do things with their friends without having you having to watch over them or whatever. You should be able to trust that they're not going to violate the terms of your relationship agreement. And if you don't, then maybe you should leave. It's because it's not their fault that you have insecurities. If I told you you don't do that, they'd be like, psh, get the step in. If I was dating somebody or married to somebody and they came home and said I was out to drink, we went out with my girls, we got drunk, somebody unfortunately put a drug in my drink and took advantage of the situation, I would be there for my partner. Like, I would hope that they would come to me and tell me that, and then I would be there for my partner as we work our way through it. Wouldn't blame her for going to the club. Also, wouldn't prevent her from going to the club because it's not how I roll. How is it putting your relationship in jeopardy if somebody violates your partner? Now, granted, if they cheat, sure, that's going to put your relationship in jeopardy, but they don't have to go to the club to cheat. They could cheat anywhere. People will find ways to cheat. It happens. So you thinking that it's that by preventing your significant other from going to the club, that's going to prevent your partner from cheating? Your partner if your partner wants to cheat, your partner is going to find a way to cheat. Nature finds a way. It's not just you. I mean, if you're concerned, Liv, you have legitimate concerns about now granted, most sexual violations take place between people who know each other. It's not random stranger danger at the bar spiking drinks. Now granted, spiking drinks can happen, but you can be victimized by a spiked drink regardless of what your gender is. There are dudes who had their drink spiked and either were sexually violated or in some other way harmed or robbed or whatever. I was told when I was young that if I'm, you know, when I was off going off to college, that I should always watch my drink because you never know who might try and spike it with something. It's not just gendered advice. But the idea that you would try and lump that in with your partner cheating is just bizarre. So, yeah, so there's that. So we're going to watch a couple other ones, but, you know, as I do with everyone, if you agree or disagree, leave your comments below. Remember to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and have a good day. That's the first actual recording that I'm doing. We'll do a couple more recordings as well. Let's catch up with the chat. MAGA's running out of gas. Republican Freedom Caucus introduced new floor action response team. Is that... Freedom Caucus on alert for possible moves against it, and it's called by Politico the Floor Action Response Team. Wow. They are the fart. Who's on the fart? I want to know. Who's on the fart? I want to be able to see it. Freedom Caucus on alert for possible moves against it by GOP leaders. The Floor Action Response Team, shorthand as FART, aims to guard against an unannounced request of resolutions that would limit the group's leverage. Conservatives in the House Freedom Caucus are signing up to take shifts to monitor the chamber floor in order to prevent their own party leaders from making unilateral moves that could curb their power. The Freedom Caucus's Floor Action Response Team, shorthanded FART, aims to guard against an unannounced request to pass resolutions that would stealthily limit their leverage against leadership, according to two Republicans with direct knowledge who are granted an anonymity to speak candidly. While one of the Republicans said the group doesn't largely expect major developments, members also don't want to be caught flat-footed if a GOP colleague tried to seek unanimous consent or a voice vote for a resolution that would change the House's structure. Two potential examples of threats the Freedom Caucus perceives: the removal of its members from the Rules Committee or changes to agreements made at the beginning of the Congress with former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Let's see. During a Wednesday meeting with Speaker and Republican Main Street Group, members of more of the establishment-minded bloc pitched Johnson on two changes. According to two Republicans familiar with the matter, the first would remove Thomas Massey, Chip Roy, and Ralph Norman from the rules panel, ending an effective conservative stranglehold on the pivotal panel that preps bill for floor debate. There were a number of members who told him that he should not allow malcontents to serve on the rules committee. Second proposed change by Main Street members was to raise the threshold required for majority party members to force a vote on ousting the speaker from its current number of one. Members of that group argue that McCarthy's offers to the right giveaways that ultimately helped him end his term as speaker are handcuffing Johnson. Well, you know, you don't want to handcuff your Johnson, right? Let's see, Steve, it's because you know how much of the shit you are and what you would do and how much you trust your partner. Exactly. Having a high school diploma doesn't mean you graduated high school emotionally. Exactly. Thank you, Jolie, for sharing all of this, the ways to help the show. Like, subscribe, become a patron, buy me a cider, Venmo. Check out the puzzles and survival game. Download it, play it for about half an hour so you can get the two things you need to get. Then spend $5 and get me 35, which would result in a net of 41. That'd give me $51 if everyone did that off the 30 people. We got 2 days left. I don't know if there's time enough left to actually get the five-star epic hero without paying any money, but I do know that some people have, including myself. When I bought my own five-star hero, it happened and it was wonderful. So, committee to repeat a point, the president is on the fart group. That's just so fun. I don't know how I missed that. I don't know how I missed the Freedom Caucus fart team. All right. So we got some, not the first two shorts together. Let's handle some more, shall we? call that? Delete. There we go. So I'll do it starting with another intro. No, we don't want that one. We want that one. We are now back with another hello. I dropped my earpiece. We are now back with another let's stop that recording and let me go pick up my earpiece real quick before I lose it. With all the trash that my kids leave on the floor, because, you know. There we go. I don't know why it's just started playing that again. That's funny. Anyway, we're back. Better than ever. We are back with more Unraveling Toxic Masculinity. We're going to continue looking at a few more of these videos and responding to them in turn just to see how terrible these people are. Next. Are we? Are women really more pickier than men when it comes to things? I mean, no, because y'all are on here wanting 18-year-old virgins who are not fat, right? This is what they want. They want 18-year-old virgins who are not fat. Now, this one, we don't want an ugly baby. Well, I've seen some ugly couples with some cute babies. And I've seen some cute couples with ugly babies. So the idea that you somehow are going to avoid an ugly baby by marrying somebody that's, you know, attractive, well, that's a silly comment on her part. Let's just put it that way. So let's move on and see what else these geniuses have to say. We've talked a little about this before. My wife, if you ask my wife, if you say, okay, I have a crush, if she's like, I like that celebrity, I like that celebrity, I like that celebrity, like Brendan Fraser, Travis Kelce, a lot of other people that are out there who are celebrities who she's like, I like these people. They're all 6'3". She has a thing about 6'3 guys. Guys that are 6'3 are part of her thing that she likes, I suppose. Am I 6'3"? No. So just because you like somebody who's 6'3", it doesn't mean that you are only going to date people that are 6'3". But when you're so obsessed like these guys are and make a big deal out of everything, then they might just use it as an excuse. You're not 6'3", get away from me, just to not have to deal with your dumb asses. I bet 6 feet plus. Well, I guess I make the cut because I'm 6 feet. But, you know, again, it's not a thing that's to cry about. Oh, I like guys that are tall. Okay, well, so a lot of people that like guys that are tall end up not marrying guys that are as tall as they might have liked. It happens. I don't want a guy that's balding. Well, first of all, you can go to the hair club for men. Second of all, y'all want 18-year-olds. Maybe if y'all dated your own age or considered women who were, you know, out of college, maybe you might find some people who have no problem with thinning or receding hairlines or what have you. Because, you know, there are people who are young tend to probably want younger looking people, because youthful people a lot of times are attracted to other youthful people. There's exception, sure, but if you're a youthful person, you're in college, you're trying to date around in college, you're probably not going to be looking at, you know, some older dude unless that's your thing. But if that's your thing, fine too, whatever, I don't care. But still, oh, I mean, but your problem is these people are leading with the penis. So if you're throwing yourselves at women, at prospective partners, and treating it as it's going to be a sexual-based relationship, then sure, they're going to care about penis size. But, I mean, most people eventually don't. Some very well might. that's fine too, if that's what they want. But you don't have a right to their bodies. You don't have a right to have a relationship with them either. But and here we go. This is one of the, this is the reason why I had this one specifically, because earlier we were talking about how weight isn't necessarily under people's control. Tonight's, you know, there are medical blocks, people, like, there are rules in insurance that make it harder for people to get the help that they need to lose weight. But even then, it's not necessarily always in their control. People can have thyroid issues that can affect their weight. People can have other medical issues that block the weight. I've talked on this show about the fact that there is a high correlation between people who are victims of childhood abuse and people who are morbidly obese. You're more likely to be morbidly obese, I think doubly so, if you were abused as a child. So if your coping mechanisms as a child was to eat a bunch of candies and chocolate and sugar and blah, 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 to deal with the pain that came with being abused, then I'm not going to blame such a person for being a victim of abuse. And you shouldn't either. But here you are. You care about weight, but that weight is, again, not always in an individual's control. So I should just make you hypocrite of the week, but I don't know. Maybe you're not big enough to qualify for that. Which one were we at? Was it this one? Let's do the next one. Was this one first? I think this is another one that was first. Hold on. I think this one might have been first. Oh no, that's fine. We were on this one, that's fine. So we'll come back to this one again. Preach. Beauty is subjective. What I find attractive may not be what you find attractive. And a lot of the times, a lot of these incel MGTOW types aren't really honest about who or what they are attracted to when it comes to, you know, things pertaining to people's bodies and how they look. There are plenty of people who probably watch this podcast who will look at her and say, I'd hit it or whatever. And they would have no problem with her. There are plenty of people who don't take into consideration looks. There are people who are demisexual who have, you know, need a connection on the mental level to be able to click with somebody, and the physicality, the looks physically aren't going to matter as much. There are people who are not going to be attracted to this young woman, and that's every right for them to not be attracted to this individual or any other individual on the panel, because nobody should force you to be guilted into dating anybody. That being said, don't be mean about it. Don't be cruel about it. If she feels that she's a beautiful young woman, then good, you're a beautiful young woman. Other people may disagree with you. She may be the sweetest, nicest person in the world, and you don't care. And that's the thing, is that if you had some incel big guy, like some guy as large as me, on here, complaining about, you know, you'd be like, it's unfair that he can't have sex because y'all look at him like he's fat and you're judging him based on that. But yet you're judging her by her weight too. It's bullshit. Preach. Your fatness does not devalue you. And he's like, why? Why? Well, you're a slovenly troll yourself there, Mr. I'm a woodsman wannabe in your flannel shirt and your beard that, you know, is mostly kept, maybe, I don't know, but why? Like, so you don't think she's an 8? Maybe you think she's a 2.8. Who cares? Other people are attracted to this young woman and would be happy to date her. If you're not one of those people, shut up about it. Because the external world is BS, and once you, there's standards of beauty that are not realistic, but yet people like y'all will perpetuate and ignore that there are plenty of other people who are going to look at this young woman and be like, yeah, I date her, I have no problem dating her. No problem whatsoever. Mic drop again, because she's owning these whatever folks. Because, yes, they have every right. Anybody on that panel, Brian or whoever this new schmuck is, I'm sure he's not new to the podcast, but, you know, I could already tell he's a schmuck. Anybody on this panel has every right to not date this young woman. And you can date whoever you wish as long as they wish to date you back. They might not be able to understand why people might find this. Maybe somebody finds this young woman attractive because they just like curves. Maybe they like a thick woman. There are people who are specifically attracted to like SSBBW or supersized BBW. They like larger women. That's what they like. Why? I've always dated thick girls. I've always dated women with curves. Like, I've dated some people that are skinny too. I was never prejudiced about it, but again, my sexual desires have nothing to do with anybody else's sexual desires. But this guy can't handle it. Somehow harms these people for them to hear that somebody has a high self-esteem and all they have to, because their high self-esteem breaks their worldview, this guy feels it's his responsibility to tear hers down. And that's what makes him a scumbag. So if you're rating Purple on personality, I'd give her a 10. I'd give him a -2. Just because, again, he can't see why people would be attracted to her doesn't make her beliefs about her self-beauty nor the beliefs of anybody else who would date her any less valid. But he feels like he needs to, you know, shut her down and make. But these people, these guys on these podcasts, feel like they have to bring down everybody, because that's the only way they retain control. Jesus would probably. I'm actually having a conversation with some people, with a newly converted friend of mine on the internet. And I was like, you're not supposed to be judging people, dude. That's not your position. That's not what your Bible says. And they couldn't handle it. So, yeah, this guy is definitely not acting in a way that Jesus would have been. You never know. Maybe Jesus would have tapped that ass, too. Never know. Let's move on to the next one. Some people might regret watching the whatever podcast after listening to this guy bloviate for minutes. Easy. You could say, you could be like, you know, yeah, I shouldn't have done this before, but I'm not going to regret the decision I made in the past. There you go. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. This guy is not a very strong, does not have very strong mental acuity. Let's just put it that way. Let's go to the last video. And again, if you're watching on Blog Talk Radio, watch on YouTube. Unless you're fat, then they're not going to find you beautiful, because we just saw them berating people for being fat. But anything else that you want to have plastic surgery, but they're like, no, be your natural self, until they actually see the natural selves. And then they're going to be like, well, not you. We weren't talking about you. We're just talking about other people. We're talking about the hot ones or whatever. Of course, there we go. They have the woman with that weird hat back in the corner and not talking again. But this is all about body autonomy, though. If somebody wants to have a procedure and they can afford the procedure, there's nothing wrong with them having the procedure either. Like, this is the one time where maybe they're sort of sounding like they're trying to be positive. But if you took this video in a vacuum, you might see, you might think to yourself, oh, these guys aren't so bad. They're advocating that people should embrace their natural selves. Well, the last video where somebody was embracing her natural self and believing herself, she was beautiful. She was told, nah, you can't feel that way about yourself because you're fat. So no, I call shenanigans on all this attempts to being potentially wholesome because you're not. This is not a wholesome video series that we're responding to right here. These people are toxic AF. And that's why we've added them into unraveling toxic masculinity. Again, what are your thoughts? Leave them below. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, share other videos with your friends, get the algorithms going. Have a good day. And there we go. There's the end of those as well. So there we go. We've handled those videos that I wanted to tackle today. Let's see. Let's scroll back. Chris says certain medications cause weight gain. Yes. Aaron, weight is not 100% under our control. That's a myth. Yes, correct. John Depp, get some platform shoes, Dan. I don't need them because she loves me for who I am. She likes me for me. Not because I'm not 6'3 or whatever. So like she can be attracted to me and not and have me not be 6'3. It's as simple. Because, you know, again, I don't treat our relationship as if it's just one for sexual bartering. People are so stupid. Baby fat happens. Good news. I just need another 5 inches. 5 inches where? Harry KP. Chris, how about someone with a kind soul and a good personality? Well, they would argue that all of these women that are being so unfair to men because they have high standards of what they want their partners to look like and be like and how well endowed they want them to be. They're not giving these poor schlubs that watch our podcast and pay $100 per super chat or whatever, or Streamlabs tip or whatever it is. They're worried about those guys, and they'll berate the women who won't give them a chance. But they could be a kind soul and good personality. But they're not going to take that into consideration when it comes to a woman. The woman has to be 18 to 20, a virgin, and hot. That's what they want. Even if they're 45, 50, 60, whatever old they might be. Who knows who all that last schmuck guy was? I don't know. Let's see. I think I said this is going to be, yes, certain medications cause weight gain. Thank you, Jolie, for sharing Jeff's son's band's link. Newest video, Sharp Pains. Appreciate you. Who wants Adonis if he's an idiot? Well, there are some. Look, these guys, especially when we've looked at the Myron Fresh and Fit podcast, folks, these people, they don't want to have somebody they can have a conversation with. They want just somebody who's going to be hot, who's going to be there for them as arm candy, and who is going to F them whenever they want. That's all they care about. They don't care about anything else. So possible that you may have women who, when they're only looking for certain characteristics or certain types of relationships, they might just be looking for a 6'3 hottie that can, you know, bring lots of inches. But that's not going to be every case. But if in some woman's past that they're eventually that they want to date, if they found out that in the past she slept with some guy that was 6'3" and hung like a moose, like, they're gonna be like, well, I can't date her anymore. Tough. Ruined for me. I can't handle it. As we've seen with, was it Molly and the video that we covered with Molly, and they were showing off pictures of the guy that she was with in a porn video. They didn't show how big he was, but they showed how tall he was and how much larger of a body frame. And like, they got all racist with that crap. So hot guys that iron. Anyway, so that's that. Let's flip back over to the Blog Talk Radio page and say, yep, nobody's waiting to call. Let's see. I think Minnesota and Grumpy Old Men comes to mind. Nice. Anyway, that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about tonight. I covered the being healthy fat. I covered Muldrow versus St. Louis and the fact that the Supreme Court amazingly got a 9-0 ruling right. And we unraveled some toxic masculinity. And I need to, after the show's done, I'll have to cut those video up and upload them to YouTube so they can be available after the show or sometime tomorrow or whatever. But anywho, I think that's about it. So unless anybody else had anything else they wanted to discuss, debate, topic, or whatever, I'd be more than happy to keep it going. But as it stands right now, I think we're going to call it a day. Because, well, as I said, I've not been sleeping well. Probably has something to do with my weight and me being sore and just stressed and all the other crap. And I'm sure the recent loss in the family has a little bit to do with it as well. And the fact that I have other people in my family who are, or one particular person in my family specifically, who's not being helpful at all either. And that's been problematic too, but that's an issue for another day. Hey, what's up, Midas? Kevin Anderson, what's going on? Or Midas, is it Midas or Midas? I'm afraid of the last name of Midas, so it's whatever. But you just popped in as we're about to leave, as we're about to head out. So that is the end of today's episode of Liberal Dan Radio Talk from the Left. That's right. I'll be on tomorrow, nerdydan.com. Probably sometime between 7 and 8 p.m. is when I'll start. If you have any questions about how to do the game, or what to do in-game, come join me then if you want to help me with that. $5 in the game and getting me $35 or plus 16 or whatever. That's the best way to help me right now. I'm doing pretty well with the campaign. Actually, we're doing really well if everybody in the chat right now downloaded the game, played about a half an hour, and then bought the $5 pack. But if you can't afford it, that's fine too. Cool anyway. Anyway, but I'll see you tomorrow on Nerdy Dan. I'll see you Wednesday, 8 p.m. Central, here on LiberalDanRadio.com. This is Dan Zimmerman with Liberal Dan Radio. Talk to the left. Bye-bye.